In this segment, BC poet Anne Swanell shares what she has learned about rhythm in poetry.
I'm going to talk for a few minutes about rhythmic patterns in poetry. Because rhythm is something you hear and not something you see, it makes sense for you to listen to it as well as read about it. Poetry should be read aloud, so whether you're studying a poem for English or whether you're writing a poem for a creative writing course, read it aloud and listen to it, rather than just reading it with your eyes. Because some poetry is written in regular rhythm, it is tempting to read poetry in a sing-song voice that emphasizes that rhythm. Try not to do this. When you read poetry aloud, you should read it as though you would say the lines in normal speech. This is true of poetry written in a regular rhythm and a free verse. Some poems can't be read line by line because the sense roves over to the next line. Here again, the trick is to read the words as close as possible to the way you would say them in normal conversation. Reading in a normal voice doesn't mean reading without rhythm, though. Even normal speech has predictable rhythm. Think about the phrase technical ability. We say technical ability, not technical ability, don't we? We say community affairs, not community affairs. But why do we care about rhythm in poetry? Why do we care which syllables are stressed and which are not? Well, if you're studying other people's poetry, it helps you to see how various effects have been achieved. If you're writing poetry, it helps you to see where problems are and to see how playing around with word order or substituting one word for another can make the poem sound better. In general, poets create their rhythms by ear rather than by following a pattern as they would if they were knitting a sweater. Often it is only later that poets analyze what they've written to help them when they're revising and polishing. Since rhythm is a pattern of stressed and unstressed syllables, let's review for a moment what a syllable is. A syllable is a unit of sound. The word tree has only one syllable. Clever, messy, amaze, effect all have two syllables. What about three-syllable words? Happily, entity, meddlesome, banana, and so on. Four-syllable words? How about particular, meandering, necessary, anticipate? You can think of lots more once you get the rhythm in your head. Now, back to the rhythmic pattern thing. Until free verse came about, all poems were written in regular rhythms. Iambic is one of the most common ones. It's the rhythm we use most often in ordinary speech. Iambic goes da-dum, 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 da-dum. Here are two lines of iambic verse. The sun was shining on the sea. It shone with all its might. Gray's Elegy is a famous poem written in iambic rhythm. Listen to the last four lines. The curfew tolls the knell of parting day. The lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lea. The ploughman homeward plods his weary way and leaves the world to darkness and to me. But listen to the last line again. And leaves the world to darkness and to me. I didn't say, and leaves the world to darkness and to me, which I would have done if I'd been slavishly following the iambic rhythm. And is not an important word here, you see, so it's best to glide over that one and put the emphasis or the weight instead on the word me, the speaker of the poem. And so we put a bit of a pause after the word darkness, and leaves the world to darkness and to me. Did you hear it? How the change in rhythm emphasizes the fact that the speaker of the poem has been left alone, as the things he could see in the twilight are blotted out. The ploughman homeward plods his weary way and leaves the world to darkness and to me. Poets often vary the rhythm pattern in a poem. There are three reasons for doing this. so as to emphasize certain words or phrases that carry a lot of emotional weight, so as to sound more like natural speech, and so as to not be boring and repetitive. When we scan a poem and say what rhythmic pattern the poet has used, we're really only naming the main or overall pattern anyway, since a line can be made up of different combinations of patterns, depending on how you hear them and how you divide them up. Let's consider some other rhythmic patterns. The opposite of iambic is trochaic. Trochaic goes dum-di, 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 dum-di. Here are two lines of trochaic verse. Bright and sharp, the sun was shining, shining on a sea of silver. Now dactyls go dum-di-di, dum-di-di, dum-di-di. Here are two lines of dactylic verse. I saw from the beach when the morning was shining, a bark o'er the waters move gloriously on. The Bacchic rhythm goes da-dum-dum, da-dum-dum, da-dum-dum. Amphibrax go da-dum-di, da-dum-di, da-dum-di. Anapests go da-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. Remember, while you will find part of or most of a poem in one of these rhythms, there is usually quite a bit of variation as well. So, if rhythms can be varied, and are often varied, why do we care what they are and if they're used? And why do we care what they're called? Mainly because the rhythm combines with the meaning of the words to convey a certain feeling. The dactylic rhythm, for example, produces a kind of rocking motion, which is fine for a poem about a voyage on the ocean, but not fine for a touching piece about a pet that has died, say, or a sick child. So, rhythm can be a clue to the mood of a poem. This might be useful whether you're studying someone else's or whether you're writing one of your own. So we can say that the rhythm needs to be appropriate to the mood and the sense of the poem. We give the rhythms names because if we're going to talk about them or refer to them, we have to call them something. If you're a writer, understanding the rhythm is important because it helps you fix problems. For example, if I write these two lines, I might not be totally happy with the sound. I went to the market and bought me a dish. I went to Fisherman's Wharf and bought me a fish. So I scan the poem using a diagonal dash on the heavy stressed syllables and a little U-shaped mark on the unstressed syllables and find it goes like this. Da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. I went to the market and bought me a dish. But the second line goes, da-dum, da-dum, da-da-dum, da-dum, da-da-dum. I went to Fisherman's Wharf and bought me a fish. I can hear that the second line is clumsy and too long compared to the first. So I change Fisherman's Wharf to the dock, and I add the word I to the second bought. Now everything glides along much more smoothly. I went to the market and bought me a dish. I went to the dock and I bought me a fish. I hear that the rhythm is mostly dactylic. Da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. A kind of rocking, happy rhythm that seems quite suitable for my light-hearted verse. But if this is to be a serious piece about the last cod in the Atlantic and how sad I feel, this rhythm probably won't do at all, and I'll have to use a different sort of rhythm. I might write something like this. The last gray glimmer, the last long streak of silver passes neath our straining bow. Da-dum-dum-dum-da, da-dum-dum-dum, da-dum-da-dum-da-dum, da-dum-da-dum. That rhythm seems much more ponderous and therefore more suitable to my serious subject matter, doesn't it? There are many other kinds of rhythmic patterns than the ones you've heard here, but we're not going to go into those on this tape. This is just an introduction to the rhythms of poetry. If you want to know more about meter and scansion, you can look up prosody in your library. P-R-O-S-O-D-Y. Prosody means the study of the rhythmical patterns of poetry. Happy scanning!